Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, September 14th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're on page 154, reading that top first paragraph, beginning with, bitterly discouraged, he found himself, and ending with, he wanted so much to talk with someone but whom. We are reading and commenting on only one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Robin B., reading the text, Dion R., reading page 164, and Sherry Z. is our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and announcements this morning will be Leslie M. The reference number for yesterday, Wednesday, September 13th, 2023, is 20,633, or 20633, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,645, or 20645. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Kathy B. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. My name is Kathy B. I live in Oklahoma. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And these are the 12 steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove all our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy B., and I will now ask Kim J. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Kim J. from Arkansas, and this is the 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop drinking, compulsively eating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for letting me be of service this morning.
Well, thank you so much, Kim J. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 154, first paragraph, beginning with, bitterly discouraged, he found himself. Ending with, he wanted so much to talk with someone, but whom? We are reading and commenting on only one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Robin B. to begin reading.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you, moderator. This is Robin B. in Ohio, compulsive overeater, living in recovery one day at a time. In 154, bitterly discouraged, he found himself in a strange place, discredited and almost broke, still physically weak and sober, but a few months, he saw.
How long have you been coming to this parking lot?
His predicament was dangerous. He wanted so much to talk with someone, but whom?
So what does that make it for you?
Please ask everyone to mute the line. Someone's talking in the background. And sorry to interrupt, Robin. Just want to make sure that the lines are muted.
Sure. Can you hear me, moderator?
We can hear you. Thank you.
Okay. I didn't know. Okay. All right. Thank you, moderator. So when I read this paragraph, thinking back, I remember being very new into the program, still just being very vulnerable, just new in my sobriety. And my husband and I had to travel out of state to see his family. And I was in a very uncomfortable situation for me. One, having to leave my home, my home is like my safe place. And being in someone else's home, knowing that there was going to be food in the home that were trigger foods for me. And then not only that, but then the relationship with my husband's family weren't very, I don't know, like his family was respectful in the fact that I was, you know, my husband's wife, and that was it. They didn't, and they were only, so it was just uncomfortable. But anyway, I remember, you know, being new in sobriety and experiencing emotions that I had always pushed down with food before, and then having this emotional upset and having to deal with them and being in this other, you know, other person's home, and what am I going to do? Well, I am thankful for the sponsor that I have, and that I was able to reach out to her. You know, there was plenty of opportunity for me that I could have given up my sobriety and joined in, partake in the food to try to get a sense of belonging with the people that I was staying with, but I knew I couldn't go down. I didn't want to go down that road. So you know, reaching out to my sponsor, and here I had no idea that she had experienced a similar situation, and you know, hearing her share her story and thinking, you know, this is not unique to me, and then reaching out to other fellows. You know, thank goodness I had my phone and had their phone numbers. And so that was the road that I decided to take, was to reach out to find support and encouragement. And it was just amazing on how, through all of this, my higher power was in control, connecting me with the people that would help me get through that situation. So that's my experience, and I thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Robin B., and sorry for that interruption. All right. We are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. And so now we'll go ahead and get a round of names of people who want to share. If you could please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. So who would like to share?
Joe M. in Minnesota.
Wendy B. Got Joe M. I've got Wendy B.
Nancy J., California.
I've got you, Nancy.
Deanna from Ohio.
I've got you, Deanna. We can take a couple more names. If there's anyone else who wants to get in this first lineup. All right, well, we'll go ahead and start with these four. I've got Joe M., Wendy B., Nancy J., and Dion R., and Joe, you'll be up first, followed by Wendy B.
Thank you so much for your service. My name is Joe M., a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. I am struck by a couple of things in this paragraph. Bill W. is facing some very serious circumstances here. He's bitterly discouraged. He's in a strange place. He's discredited. He's almost broke, and he's physically weak. I mean, those are really serious circumstances to find yourself in. He also is only sober but a few months. So he's got these pressures that are going on in this moment. And that he saw and he recognized this. He saw that his predicament was dangerous, meaning it putting him in at risk of going back to the booze. That's why they're using the word dangerous here. It says he wanted so much to talk with someone. What did he want to talk with someone about? He did not want to talk to someone about his problems. He wanted to talk to someone about his solution. That's what was driving him. He needed to talk to another alcoholic about the way out. That's what was driving him. And when he picked up that receiver and dialed the number in the Mayflower Hotel, he was searching another alcoholic to carry his solution to. And he met Dr. Bob, met with Dr. Bob for several hours, and Dr. Bob's children were waiting in the car outside, and they said they knew that something magical was happening on the inside. And why was that? Is because they heard their father laugh, and they hadn't heard him laugh in a long time. Now, why was he laughing? He wasn't laughing because Bill W. was dumping all of his problems on him. He was laughing because Bill W. was carrying his solution to him. So when he says he wanted so much to talk with someone, that was the motivator. And I'm really struck by this because this is a lesson for me. When my circumstances are challenging, I don't need to call somebody and dump all that on them. I need to call somebody and carry my solution to them. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Joe M. from Minnesota. Next up, we've got Wendy B., followed by Nancy J.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I'm just so grateful that he saw that his situation was dangerous. His circumstances were ripe for, you know, him turning back to his disease for ease and comfort. And, and that things weren't going well. You know, he felt hopeless and discouraged, you know, and the drink was calling to him to soothe his battered ego, he recognized the dangerous condition he was in, and that's a miracle, you know, and he saw the choice before him, you know, to go back into his disease, you know, and blot out the consciousness of his intolerable situation, or to accept spiritual help. And I'm just so grateful he chose to walk away from the, you know, the insistent demands, you know, the yearning he still felt for ease and comfort, the companionship he would find in the bar, you know. And he set the precedent for us to follow, you know, a way out of our disease, you know. And now when, you know, I sense that I'm not in fit spiritual condition and the food looks tempting, you know, I can look at my feelings, you know, that they're surfacing, and I can pinpoint the root of the problem, you know, and deal with it, you know, instead of trying to stuff it down with food. And this is miraculous. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Next, we have Nancy J., followed by Dion R.
Thank you, moderator. Good morning, everyone. Nancy J. in California, recovered for today. Grateful. Just want to check in. And, yeah, I had this moment last week reading this morning or a few days ago. Someone at work brought treats in, and I recognize there's a box of treats, but that's it, you know, and I don't want them, they don't call to me, I don't anything. But this time I actually walked up to the box and opened it up and looked at them, and I looked at each one and I looked at each flavor. And that scared the crap out of me. I realized, as Bill, you know, to a less severe degree, his circumstances were, not too severe. It was a dangerous place for me to have my hand on the box. Now, I wasn't going to pick one up, but it was different behavior, and I knew I needed to speak to someone, and that someone would be my sponsor about it. And, you know, I have no business romancing a box of treats, you know, that I'm a full blown bug eyed sugar addict. And, so that scared the crap out of me. However, as the previous fellow that spoke, it's a miracle that I can use this program. I have the tools, and it's done and it's over. The sting is still there, but that was a reminder of my disease and that I will die a compulsive overeater. But thank God for today, I'm recovered. I didn't feel, you know, they didn't call me enough to pick something up. Thank God. But I really want to, when I look at a box of treats, I should see little grenades or maggots or something. I shouldn't see something lovely and you know, I don't want to say it was tempting, but it was a lovely thing I was looking at, and that those things in there would ruin my life, ruin to take this recent 9 months of abstinence and just blow it to hell in a handbasket. So anyway, so grateful I'm recovered today and that I have these tools and these program and these steps and everybody on the line today. And with that, I'll pass. And thank you so much. Have a good day.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy J. from California. And next up, we have Deanna R.
Hello. Good morning. This is Deanna R. from Ohio. Thank you for allowing me to share. And thank you all for the beautiful encouragement and strength I get from reading these pages and showing up. This is a club I want to be a member of forever. Bitterly discouraged, he found himself in a strange place. That little part right there, it stands out to me so much. He found himself in a strange place. And today, my higher power is reminding me I could be so over, I can be absent, I can be nice, I can be sunny a little for that day. If I just stay away from the food. And no matter how discouraged or what strange place I'm in, like the first reader had shared, I love it. It's like I'm used to things being the same, don't change it, you know. And I'm in a position where I have, you know, it's something I don't like to do, right? Because the powers that's out of my control. I've been kind of moving around and waking up. I'm like, oh, I had that shock. I'm like, where am I at? I'm not in my, you know, usual place. And it feels good. Believe it or not, it's strange, but it feels good. And my higher power is taking great care of me. Only best way I can describe it, I feel like being led by my earthly father when he would take me to school. I just trusted him. He knew I was here, but I held his hand tightly and trusted him until he got me to kindergarten. And they had it back. But just being grateful that I knew I was safe, but I just didn't know what was the next adventure. So it feels good to know that when all else fails, at the last part, he wanted to talk with someone but home. And that's when I make outreach calls. And like someone said, I make outreach calls not to tell her what's going on with me. Only my God's wife gets that privilege. But no, and I just go and reach and receive outreach calls. I don't even mention about what I'm at, and I come out of it. My mind is off of the situation, and I'm in a higher. I'm not in a mindfulness. I'm in a higher mindfulness, if that makes sense. I'm looking higher, and because I know my God got me. I feel safe with him. And with that, I would greatly pass, and just thank you for allowing me to be a servant. If I stay close to my higher power and all of you, which I have for years now, I always come out safe, and it feels good, and I want to give more, and with that, I'm gracious and sad. Have a good day.
Well, thank you so much, Dion R. from Ohio, and if you're just joining us, we are on page 154, the first full paragraph that begins with, bitterly discouraged. And we just read that one paragraph ending with, he wanted so much to talk with someone, but whom? And I'd like to take another lineup. If you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday at any vision meeting, though, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Who would like to share on that paragraph?
Sherry Z.
Mo H.
I've got you, Sherry. I've got you, Mo.
Kelsey S.
I've got you, Kelsey S.
Joan Marie M.
Wendy M.
I think I heard Joan Marie.
Yes.
M.
Yes.
Okay. And was there someone else in there?
Wendy M.
Okay, gotcha, Wendy. Anyone else want to get in on this lineup? All right, I've got Sherry Z, followed by Mo H, Kelsey S, Joan Marie M, and Wendy M. Please let us know where you're calling from, and Sherry, you'll be up, followed by Mo.
Good morning, Sherry, recovered in Southern California, Sherry Z. Thank you, everyone, for doing service on the meeting, and also the visionaries for getting up whatever time of day it is and making this your priority. So he saw his predicament was dangerous. Predicament means it was difficult, unpleasant, or embarrassing. So what's embarrassing for me? When I'm in danger, when I place my anything above my recovery, when I'm trying to control, when I'm a human doing rather than a human being, when I'm not sponsoring, when I'm, quote, dialing it in, when I'm doing the bare minimum, when I'm placing other things and other priorities ahead of my recovery, when I think my life is so important, when I think what I'm doing is so important, when I think I'm smarter and know better, when I lack humility, when I make promises to myself and I don't keep them. Those are the things that are dangerous. What I used to think was dangerous was the food, and all I was trying to do was stay away from the food. But actually, what's dangerous is not being spiritually fit. And I feel like this paragraph this morning was such a reminder to me, because I've been a little bit dialing it in. And I just was like, that's what's dangerous. When I let everything and everyone else take priority over my recovery. And I'm just so grateful to be on a meeting that I wake up and write and pray so that I can have God speak to me rather than me speak to God about how everything's going to go down today and what we're going to accomplish and how we're going to figure it all out. But instead, God can say to me, wait, this is embarrassing. This predicament is dangerous. But when you're not spiritually fit and everything else is taking priority, this is when I got to step in and you've got to step back. So just so grateful this morning to be on a meeting, to be reminded to know that I don't want to be in the dangerous zone. And I've been rubbing up against it. So thank you so much.
Wow, thank you so much, Sherry Z from California. Mo, you're up next, followed by Kelsey S.
Yeah, thank you very much, Stephanie, for your service. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater and Sherrod in Walnut Creek, California. Yeah, I love everybody shares. You know, I'm looking at this and finding different feelings coming up. So he found himself in a strange place. So yes, those strange places can be, you know, at uncomfortable buffets or parties or whatever, but also strange places can be my feelings coming up. A strange place can be that I'm physically in a strange place. Maybe I have an illness. And so the strange places for me can be, you know, lots more than being at a party or wedding or anything like that. But, you know, that is one too. But, you know, when I'm dealing with feelings and when I'm totally abstinent, they are coming up and they are strong. And, you know, right now I'm going through some very strong feelings, and the way I don't let those strange feelings or those feelings take me over is I make a call, like people have said, and or I go on a walk, or I do something different than just be in the feeling. The other thing that hit me is he saw that his predicament was dangerous. The only way he can see that his predicament is dangerous is because he's sober. When I'm into the food, I can't see that any predicament is dangerous. All I can see is what I want and how much more I can get. But when I am abstinent, yes, I can see better, I can hear better, I can, feel better, not feel better, but, feel my feelings more, et cetera, et cetera. So now I have found myself in these places many different times, and I have sometimes walked through them gracefully like he did. He wanted so much to talk with somebody, but whom? And he made that call, thank God, for that first outreach call that he made and that first person-to-person connection and sharing his experience, strength, and hope. But there are some times that, I have not made that outreach call and I have fallen flat on my face with the food. So this paragraph says a lot in a few words, and I'm grateful to be able to share. You all have a good day, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Mo H. from California. Kelsey, you're up next, followed by Joan Marie.
Hi, I'm Kelsey S. I'm from Denver, Colorado, recovering compulsive overeater. This paragraph just really stands out to me because if Bill didn't do this, then I think like this one small action, then we wouldn't have the program that we have today just through him meeting, another alcoholic. And it reminds me of the third step prayer when it says, take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. Because in this instance, it's Bill going through a hard time, and then all of this therefore helped all these people when they developed AA. So whenever I'm in a really difficult time and I'm finding myself craving or just like those in this instance, like really in a hard spot, I think like take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, because I just think about all of the people in the future that I would help if I was able to like do this and make that outreach call or just get through a harder time. I'm newer to this program and I haven't sponsored yet, but I think about like my sponsees in the future and how like if I can recover and do well in this program, then I can help others. So I just think this part is so important, and thinking about if we can come up against something hard and make that outreach call, make that difficult decision to not go back to the food, just thinking about all the people in the future that we can help through our own recovery helps me like power that decision. And that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelsey S. from Colorado. Next, we've got Joan Marie M. followed by Wendy M.
Hi, this is Joan Marie M. in Nevada. Recovered. I'm experiencing right now a strange predicament, and what someone just said about when you're in recovered, you're recovered, and the feelings are intense. And it started last night, and it relates so much to this paragraph right now. I'm going through it right now. And so, yeah, I'm going through it and reaching out, and this would help someone else too. But last night there was a movie on and so forth and so on. Someone died, a wife, and it brought me back to my husband's death. And then today a phone call from a friend where her husband is dying. So I'm feeling all the feelings, and so I'm reaching out, and I will call my sponsor today, but I just needed to share, and so thanks for being there for me. And I know I'll get through this because I have God on my side and the fellowship, so thank you.
Well, thank you, Joan Marie M., and please reach out. And next, we've got Wendy M.
Yeah, good morning. This is Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you for your service. there's a couple of things that really stand out for me. Oh, and I'm recovering. I'm like 40 days in. Thank you, God. But here's the miracle, right, is that even though all this was happening, bitterly discouraged, physically weak, he saw. How the heck did he see? That is a miracle. Like, I have no idea after 2 years of being in relapse and then listening to a special edition, I don't know, 40 days ago, that I saw. I didn't see anything. I was graced. All I did was pick up the phone and listen, right? And then I was graced. And then I wanted, like it says, he wanted so much, right? Like, how does this happen? These are miracles. And the fact that he wanted it and the fact that he did it, right, as somebody said earlier, you know, gave us, you know, a place to go get recovered, you know. And so it's a miracle, really. How did he see it? I don't know how I saw it. I don't know how it is that I'm, you know, entirely abstinent, you know. And then the other piece, I love the telephone. So I always think about this with Bill and Ebby. You know, that Bill was in the depths of his depths. And the phone rang. And I always say to myself, I always say this to friends, you know, that phone rang was an interruption in consciousness. You know, it when the phone rings for me, here's the deal. I have to pick it up, right? Because I need a shift in consciousness. I need to get awake in that moment. And before it was like, oh, really, the phone, you know, and now it's like, oh, the phone, I need that call. You know, I need to shift into whatever the heck God wants me to hear. And similarly, I must make phone calls, and now I get to make phone calls. And the more I make phone calls, the more I make phone calls, the less I call, the less I call. But the bottom line is, I don't think I've ever had a phone call where I felt worse afterwards, because it's always going to be seeing something. It's always going to be, oh, my God, I needed to hear that. Or, as somebody said, I needed to give that away. The other night, somebody called. It was late, right? I had reasons not to pick up. I picked up. I said, thank you, God. And I was helpful to another human being. And that's not me. That is not me. I'm selfish and self-centered to the core. And I got to help another human being at what I would consider a late hour. And, you know, is that my time?
That's your time. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. And we can take about 3 to 4 more people, please. Give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from if you'd like to share. Who would like to share? Top of page 154, first paragraph.
Elizabeth.
Michigan. I think I heard Elizabeth, and I think I heard one each.
Yes.
All right. And we can probably take one more. Anyone else want to get in? Okay, well, we'll start here. So, Elizabeth, if you could give your last initial and where you're calling from. I've got you and then Juanice. You're next after Elizabeth. Oh,
hi,
I can't hear you.
Sorry.
Oh, there you are.
I had accidentally muted myself. Sorry about that, y'all. This is Elizabeth A. from Michigan, and I needed to give myself that push to share this morning. I relate to this paragraph in so many ways. When I started Overeaters Anonymous, I started in Toledo, Ohio, and I took a position up in Detroit, Michigan area, only knowing people from Overeaters Anonymous, and my eating disorder was absolutely killing me. And yet I took a job that would stress my eating disorder. I danced with a professional modern ballet company, ended up getting fired, because of weigh-ins. It was just one of those horrible situations that I chose to get into. And when I got fired, I was not going home, no matter what. Home life was abusive, and it was not a good environment. So I really relate to this story because, you know, it was kind of at hell or high water. And it was messy. My recovery was very, very messy. And I had to just keep, as I call it, rowing my boat and doing the next right thing and going to meetings. And my eating disorder was still kicking my butt. And I just kept working. By the grace of God, I heard someone else say that. It's by God's grace that I was able to see people. And this is what encourages me in OA is that it says in the 12 and 12, when we see others meet and transcend their other difficulties, and that's why I came and that's why I keep coming. I can't do this thing alone. I need God's help. And I need that moment of sanity when I'm getting off the path, off the beam. And so I'm just so grateful to be here today, and I'm grateful to be still on this journey all these years later. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Elizabeth A. from Michigan. And Juanice, you're up next.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanice N., and I'm recovered in Simi Valley, California. And boy, can I relate to this paragraph, and it gives me so much hope. Because many times that I've read the big book, I've never really seen it, heard it, could feel it, could really grasp it like I have been since I've been coming to a vision for you. And this bitterly discouraged and discredited and almost broke, but the discredited and bitterly discouraged, and he had only been sober but a few months, I sit here and I'm like, wow, most of my 10 steps and fears go back to shame, afraid of being of shame, disgrace, being dishonored, discredited, being alienated, you know, ostracized, all of this stuff. These are my worst, worst, deepest fears. And this is what was happening to him walking in it right then, only about a few months sober. Wow, I can't imagine. And then I think about, you know, what he's been doing. What he's been doing, you know, the prayer and meditation, the, you know, talking to God throughout the day, the pausing when agitated and all of this stuff in my, what it says to me is it prepared him for this moment. I believe that only a relationship with God, a power greater than himself, you know, staying close to God and him being all powerful, and staying close to him and performing his work well as he could, you know, up to this point is the only reason why he went to the phone to call instead of back to the liquor. Because we're powerless. We're powerless. I can't make that choice in and of myself ever. Ever. It doesn't matter how long I've been sober or I like the way the lady said, use the word sobriety for instead of abstinence. But anyway, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If I don't have that relationship built up, if I'm not building on it, relying on it, seeking it, you know, dealing with my own character defects to keep me cleared away from that power and the sunlight of the spirit, if I get discredited and disgraced and almost broke, I'm heading straight for the food without God. Without God, it's an automatic. So anyway, that's all for me. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Juanice N. from California. We can take probably one more. Who would like to share? We've got time.
Hi, it's Elizabeth C. from California.
Hi, Elizabeth C. Why don't you go for it?
Thank you. I like all these words. It's really setting up for that strange place. which, you know, I find myself in all the time when I'm not feeling connected to my higher power. I can find that strange place when I don't know anyone, when I'm working, when things are not going well throughout the day, when it's a real struggle. And to have someone to call or to have someone that calls me and they point me in the direction by calling out a page or, you know, put me back into the solution. And I really like what I heard on this meeting because it looks like, you know, he's losing, right? And there are so many times that I feel like I'm losing. I mean, before program, I was like a big loser, you know, because of that scarcity mindset. And so he's feeling that again, you know, bitterly discouraged. Bitterly is very interesting. Discouraged. I mean, that's like those two words together. Bitterly discouraged. Yeah, so I've been discouraged many, many times, and I do know that I call for something like the food or, you know, something sweet. But, you know, the longer I'm in program, the more that I see how empty it is and how my compulsiveness is what is driving me. And so being in that place within, where I'm not connected to my higher power, where I don't feel well spiritually. It's that spiritual place that's dark or becoming dark. But I'm grateful for everything I'm hearing. And yeah, today I am going to be emotionally abstinent, like stable, like sober, and know that I'm focusing on the solutions instead of, you know, the problem and looking to find humor in things. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth C. from California. And we can take someone who'd like to do a two-minute share. Anyone want to close us out with a two-minuter?
Hi, it's Rella from Brooklyn. I'll do a short share.
Thank you, Rella. Go for it.
Yeah, I'm so inspired. I just wanted to check in here. I'm Rella, recovering compulsive overeater. Something that someone just shared was so much what I needed to hear about how without God, I'm powerless. I've been moping around my day, just feeling generally low. Some plans I'd made for the high holidays just came through, and I thought, I don't want to do this. I don't want to commit my food today. I don't want to do my daily stretches today. And then I said, I forgot about God. I just forgot to ask him for help. I forgot that I'm powerless. And it just gave me a mind shift, and I realized I can tap into a power greater than myself. Just by default, I am my own higher power all the time, every day. So thank you so much for your shares. It made such a difference to me. God bless. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for closing us out, Rella R. from Brooklyn. All right. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Dion R., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, yes, I will. Thank you. Thank you all for allowing me to be of service. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Asking in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God, well, I mean with him, is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great back for God. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.